In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful day we have on this Sunday of remembrance of the cross, and the Sunday in which we have the baptism of the newest member of the kingdom of God, Eliana Maria. On this day, there are two images that really stand out. One is, of course, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is in the center of the church as we celebrate its exaltation. And the other is the baptismal font, those waters of holy baptism, the waters in which we die and rise again, being patterned after the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and incorporated into his body through the church. These two great things, the cross and baptism, were connected by our Lord in his ministry. Our Lord, of course, was baptized in the Jordan River. And afterwards, he spoke to his disciples about the need of baptism, about being born again. And they struggled to understand this mystery. How can someone be born again after they've already been born from their mother's womb? And the Lord said to the disciples that they too would be baptized with the baptism with which he was to be baptized. In other words, a baptism that was going to happen. And this was after his baptism in the Jordan River. He was speaking about another baptism. And of course, that was the baptism in his blood on the cross. These two mysteries, baptism and the Holy Cross, are so deep and so profound. They're mysteries that we contemplate from the beginning to the end of our lives. They're mysteries, really, that go even into eternity as we grow in the love and the knowledge of God. Say something about these two images, these two mysteries today. What is our response as Orthodox Christians to the cross and to baptism? What is our response to our God who gives us these great mysteries of salvation? First, our response has to be gratitude. Whenever we receive a gift, we have to give thanks. And how many gifts has God given to us? We were made in his image and likeness. We were given this wonderful creation with such beauty and harmony and order. We were given the 5 senses to interact with it. We see with our eyes the great beauty. We hear with our ears the chirping birds, beautiful music and songs, the human voice. We touch with our fingers and our hands the softness of animals, the embrace of one another. We smell the flowers, and we taste wonderful foods, breathe in aromas. And in all of these things, we receive these gifts of God, of existence. What the cross means for us is the continuance of creation. Because through sin and through death, through the disorder that was introduced into the world, into the universe through man, we have a falling, a corruption. Things are fading away. Things are perishing. The scriptures say that even creation, it groans in travail, waiting for our coming liberty from corruption and death. And it's the cross that brings this about. Because the cross brings about resurrection. The cross brings about entrance into that new age, where there'll be a new world. And it won't be bound by the disorder of sin, of corruption, or death. We give thanks to God for bringing this about through his cross, this resurrection. This is our first response. Our second response is that of love. Love is a word that has so many definitions by human beings. But the love that God gives to us, it's the supreme definition that was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Says in the scriptures that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Elsewhere in the scriptures we read that this is the love of God, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This is a love that excels earth and man's definition. It's the love of heaven. It's the love of our Creator. A love that is not given by merit. It is not preserved by conditions. And it does not end. It is timeless. It is eternal. All of our human forms of love are given by merit. So we love someone if they do something for us. We'll continue loving them if they keep our conditions. And it's temporary because that kind of love always comes to an end. It always fades away. We lose that love because it's earthly and it's perishing. But the love that God gives to us is when we were without merit. And He gives it to us without condition. And it's timeless. It's never ending. This is the love that we have to not only receive and be thankful for, but this is the same love that we have to extend to others, that we have to grow in. Because if we simply just take it for ourselves, then what we're really doing is being selfish. We're taking all of God's gifts and trying to hoard them for ourselves and not being willing to share them, to extend them to others. And what we end up doing is not really having God's love within us. It remains external to us. We haven't made it part of our life. We haven't been incorporated into it. And though that love is so strong for us, it still remains alien to us. It doesn't heal us. It doesn't save us because we have not accepted it. We have not made it our own. And this is our calling as Christians, to grow in God's love. Now, sometimes we think about our lives and how difficult it is to love one another. We have our shortcomings. We all do. And sometimes we hurt one another. We let one another down. We betray one another. We do all terrible things to one another. And we think, well, how can we love when they've done this to me? And then we look at the cross and we realize what we have done to our God in rejecting Him and His love. And we decide we must learn to love as He has loved us. We must learn to forgive and be reconciled and embrace one another, stretching out our arms as He did on the cross. This is a difficult thing to do. But this is how our love can be authentic and real rather than earthly and inauthentic. This is the only way. Because love, again, for it to be divine, has to be without regard to merit, unconditional, and timeless. And it's precisely, actually, as St. Siloam says, that we can see if the love of God is abiding in us if we love our enemies, if we have the grace of God within us. It's how we love our enemies. Do we have this love, or do we have some other kind of pseudo-love? How do we respond to our enemies? And this is all bound up in the mystery of the cross. Because to be in relationship with one another is to suffer, is to be crucified. It is difficult. But we must also, and this is part of the great paradox and mystery of the cross, we must actually also love God in the same way. Right? There are two commandments, and the first is actually love for God. How can we offer this love to God? How can we do it? He certainly has fulfilled every condition and has all merit and is worthy of our love from beginning to end. How can our love be tested? How can it be self-sacrificial? How can our love be divine for God? Well, we think about life, how much God has given to us, the creation, and after the fall, the redemption. What could we hold against God? He hasn't become our enemy. He's become our Savior. There's nothing we can hold against Him. Except perhaps we think one thing. And that one thing is actually the cross. That is actually the cross. We might think to ourselves, wouldn't it have been better if just Christ had to carry His cross and bring about salvation? Why does He say to me that I have to deny myself, take up my own cross and follow Him? Isn't He God? Can't He just do away with our own crosses? Can't He work the salvation in some other way? I have this against Him. that he hasn't gotten rid of my cross. Sometimes we feel that way. Life can be very hard. The cross is very heavy. And we might feel a sense of resentment against God. And yet, we hear that the cross, although it's foolishness and a stumbling block to those who are unbelievers, to those who are being saved, it is somehow the wisdom and the power of God. The cross is our way of salvation, even though it is difficult, even though it's hard. And why is it? Because it's precisely through the cross that our love can be tested. Our love for God can be tested. That we could love Him despite our sufferings, despite our death. That we could love God even despite the fact that we could be facing eternal torments. Imagine that. What would it be like to love God in the face of those things? Our own suffering, our own death, even our own entrance into hell. Could we love God? Could we love Him if we face these things? And the answer is absolutely. And the great mystery is when we decide to love God by carrying our cross, by willing to endure suffering, death, and even hell, when we decide to love God even there, all of those sufferings, all of those crosses, all of those hells disappear. They go away. Because for the one who loves God and who delights in His presence, no matter where he or she is, God is there. And God fills our minds with truth, our hearts with love, our wills with goodness. He fills us with His very life. And no matter what it is that we're facing, we overcome it. And this is the great mystery of our faith, brothers and sisters. That it's precisely in loving God when it gets hard and carrying our cross when it is difficult and descending with Christ even into hell, that all of these things are overcome, that they are defeated, because what is defeated is our own selfishness, our own pseudo-love, our own love that's based on merit and conditions and it's temporary. All of that is gone when we're willing to love God no matter what the cost. Brothers and sisters, the cross is something we should never hold against our God. The cross is something that we should give thanks to our God for. The cross is our way of salvation. It's our way to move from selfishness to selflessness, from love of ourselves to true, authentic love for God and our neighbor. It's the way of salvation. So if the first thing that we do in response to baptism in the cross is thanksgiving, and the second thing is love, the third thing which the church reminds us of as we have the cross out in front of us for the exaltation is to worship the one who was crucified on it. To give praise to God. What do we sing? We bow down in worship before thy holy cross, and we praise and glorify thy resurrection. It is only God who could work this paradoxical, mysterious salvation for us. And He does it through the one thing, the one tool, the one instrument that no man would ever chase after. His own laying down of His life. What a God we have, who reveals His love to us and who incorporates us into this love through our baptism. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the baptism and the exaltation of the cross, let us be renewed in this grace. Let us be renewed in God our Savior. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen.